Let's take a trip down the rabbit hole, shall we?
All right, everybody, welcome to another deep dive. Let's talk about training and specifically how to make it not suck. Ever feel like training is just, well, kind of a drag?
It's a common experience, unfortunately.
It really is. And in a world overflowing with information, why does training so often feel stuck in the past?
Well, think about it this way. How people consume information has drastically changed, but the way we approach training, that core, really hasn't.
It's like we're trying to fit a square peg into a round hole. On the one hand, people are binge-watching documentaries, falling into those YouTube rabbit holes, gobbling up knowledge in these bite-sized addictive formats. But when it comes to training,
it often feels like a chore.
Exactly, a chore. Not exactly the most inspiring learning environment.
And that's the key, isn't it? We're missing that spark, that intrinsic motivation that makes you want to learn.
Yes. And I think that's where behavioral science comes in. Like, finally, we're starting to understand how our brains actually learn best.
Exactly. And it's not about some sort of manipulation, tricking people into learning. It's about aligning the training with how our brains naturally function.
Working with our brains, not against them. So let's break it down. What are some of those key insights from behavioral science that can help us design training that actually, you know, works?
One of the most fundamental is cognitive load theory. It boils down to this. Our working memory has limits. If you bombard someone with too much information at once, they experience what we call cognitive overload.
Like trying to cram for an exam the night before. Ever been there?
Exactly. And what happens? It's a recipe for disengagement and pretty terrible retention. So instead of overwhelming learners with these massive information dumps, we need to chunk it down, make it digestible.
Microlearning.
Right.
I've heard that term.
That's it. Microlearning is all about those bite-sized pieces of content, easier for our brains to process. Think short videos, interactive exercises, even just quick summaries or key takeaways.
Makes sense. Like, it's like the difference between trying to eat a whole cake in one go versus enjoying a slice at a time.
Perfect analogy. And while microlearning helps manage that initial intake, we also have to consider how to make it stick long term. That's where spaced learning enters the picture.
The power of repetition. Classic.
Right. Our brains are wired to forget. It's just natural. But if we revisit information strategically over spaced intervals, we can actually strengthen those neural pathways and shift knowledge from short-term to long-term memory.
So it's not just what we learn, but how we revisit it that matters.
Exactly. Think about those language learning apps. You know, the ones that use spaced repetition algorithms, bringing back those tricky words and phrases right when you need them, maximizing that retention?
They've cracked the code.
In a way, yes. They've tapped into the fundamentals of how we encode and retrieve information. And those same principles, they can be applied to any type of training, learning software, understanding complex business ideas, you name it.
Fascinating stuff. This is like cracking the code on how to make learning truly effective. We've covered microlearning, spaced learning. What other tools does behavioral science offer for creating more engaging training?
Well, one powerful approach is using simulations. With simulations, you're giving learners the safe environment to practice real-world skills, right? Make decisions without the fear of messing up in the real world.
Like a flight simulator, but for your job.
Exactly. Imagine, say, you're training customer service reps. Instead of just lecturing them about handling a difficult customer, throw them into a simulation where they have to actually do it.
Way more engaging than just sitting through a PowerPoint, that's for sure.
And you can build in feedback, right? Could be immediate from the system, or maybe a debriefing session with a facilitator. Learners get guidance in real time, refine those skills, all in a safe space.
So it's learning by doing, but with like a safety net.
Exactly. And speaking of engagement, we can't forget about the power of stories.
Ooh, stories. Now you're speaking my language.
Our brains are wired for them. Think about it. We've been sharing knowledge, passing down wisdom through stories for ever.
It's how we make sense of things, right?
Exactly. Stories create that emotional connection, makes information stickier, more relatable.
So how do we bring storytelling into training? We're not asking people to write a novel here. Right?
Yeah, no, not novels.
Yeah.
But we can definitely use storytelling principles to structure that content, make it way more engaging. Instead of just dry facts and figures, we can embed information within a narrative.
Give me an example. How would you use a story to, say, teach project management?
Okay, picture this. a training module where you follow a project manager. They're facing all these crazy challenges on this really important project. And as the story unfolds, boom, key project management concepts pop up. Learners see those concepts in action right there in the narrative.
So instead of just memorizing definitions, they're seeing how it all plays out in the real world.
Exactly. And because they're invested in the story, right? They connect with the characters, those lessons, they're going to stick with them.
I love it. Okay, so we've got micro learning, space learning, simulations, stories. Anything else up your sleeve? Any other secret weapons from the behavioral science world?
Oh, there's more. One that's often overlooked. Nudge theory.
Nudge theory. Okay, you're going to have to elaborate on that one.
It's all about how these subtle cues in our environment can, without us even realizing it, influence our choices, our behavior.
So those little nudges that kind of steer us in a certain direction.
That's it. And those nudges can be super effective for shaping how learners behave.
All right, I need an example. How would you use a nudge in training?
Let's say your goal is to get learners to finish a module by a certain date. Instead of just setting a deadline, why not use a progress bar? Visually shows them how far they've come.
Ah, I see. So it's like you're giving them that visual reminder, how much they've done, how much is left.
Exactly. And that little cue can be surprisingly motivating.
Like those apps that track your steps or how much water you're drinking.
Yeah.
You see that bar filling up, it makes you want to keep going.
Exactly. Taps into that desire for completion, for achievement.
This is really making me rethink what training could be. No more boring manuals or death by PowerPoint.
Yeah. Right. We're talking about learning experiences that are as engaging, as addictive as watching, you know, that next YouTube video or scrolling through social media.
It's like harnessing the same psychology that keeps us glued to our screens, but putting it towards something that actually helps us learn and grow.
You got it. Working with our instincts, not against them.
This is so inspiring. But I have to ask, if these ideas are so effective, why aren't we seeing more of them? Why are so many organizations stuck in a rut?
That is the million-dollar question. Honestly, there are a few factors at play.
It's like we're talking about this revolution in learning, but then so many places just seem stuck with the old ways. Mm-hmm. What gives?
Well, a big part of it is, frankly, just inertia. You know, change is hard, especially in these bigger organizations. It's easier to stick with what, you know, even if it's not really working.
Ah, the old, if it ain't broke, don't fix its mentality.
Yeah.
Even when it kind of is broken.
Yeah, sometimes. And look, switching to these new approaches, it takes investment. New tech, training for the trainers themselves, rethinking how things have always been done. That can feel risky.
Nobody gets fired for playing it safe.
Yeah.
Even if it's not the best for everyone in the long run.
Unfortunately, that is often the reality. And then there's the technology itself. A lot of the systems out there, the learning platforms, they were built for a different time, like an era of passive learning, right? Content dumps, one size fits all module.
Those clunky old things that feel like they haven't been updated since, I don't know, the 90s.
Exactly. They're just not set up for the kind of dynamic, personalized, engaging stuff we've been discussing.
So the tech itself can actually hold back progress.
It can, yeah. But it's not all bad news. The good news is there are companies, big and small, who are trying these new approaches, and they're seeing incredible results.
Okay, see, now that's what I like to hear.
It's happening. And I really believe the more we talk about these ideas, share those success stories, challenge the status quo, the faster things will change.
So what's our takeaway? What do we want listeners to do if they're feeling fired up, ready to shake things up in their own world?
Start small. Pick one need, one training challenge that really speaks to you. Don't try to do everything at once. Choose a project, something manageable, where you can test out these new approaches, see what happens, gather some data.
Small steps, big goals.
Exactly. And don't be afraid to get creative. Look for inspiration in unusual places. Like those addictive apps and games we were talking about, they're onto something. See what works, what doesn't. Try things out, adjust as you go.
Embrace the experiment.
Exactly. The future of learning, it's about being flexible, adapting, always open to trying new things.
This has been awesome. I feel like we've really covered a lot of ground. I mean, from the science of how our brains learn to the actual tangible ways to make training that works.
It's been a pleasure diving into all of this with you.
Same here. So to everyone listening, if you're feeling inspired to rethink training to make it better wherever you are, I say, let's do it. Let's build learning experiences that aren't just effective, but they're actually enjoyable. Experiences that make people curious, that spark passion, that leave them feeling empowered and excited to learn more.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Time to ditch the boring stuff and embrace the future.
And on that note, we're going to wrap up this deep dive. Thanks for joining us. And remember, learning, it should never suck.
That's our show, folks. Good day, good luck, and goodbye. Yours and all things innovation and imagination. That's our show, folks. Good day.